You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickards. Starting Monday, you'll hear new voices and new perspectives during our evening lineup on the Ideas Network with shows like Newsday, Monday through Thursday at 9 p.m. See the entire schedule and learn about our new programs online at WPR.org.
Now, gender inequality in the workplace is a big issue in the U.S. today. There's still a substantial pay gap between women and men, and men are way more likely to be CEOs at major companies than women are.
One thread we don't hear about often is the controversial finding that people would rather not have a woman boss, especially, here's the kicker, when they're a woman themselves. A 2009 study from the journal Gender and Management showed that women think of other women as good managers, but they still don't want to work for other women.
Our next guest wrote about this issue in The Atlantic in a piece titled, Why Do Women Bully Each Other at Work? We want to hear from you on this at 800-642-1234. Do you see women being extra tough on other women in your workplace? What's your experience been like at work? Why do you think this happens sometimes in workplaces? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Olga Kazan is a staff writer for The Atlantic. Olga, welcome back to Central Time.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So, Olga, this is a thorny topic, even among some of the researchers that you talk to. It's almost as though you were digging up stuff they didn't exactly want to talk about. Why did you decide to write about this topic?
Yeah, well, so this is just something that has always been there in the gender and sort of management research. That's sort of just an interesting wrinkle. You know, these surveys pick it up that women prefer male bosses, and in some cases, male coworkers also. So it's just sort of an interesting question, and we were kind of wondering, you know, why is that?
And when you brought it up with women in your social circle and you went to some business gatherings of professional women, it was really interesting because at first the women said, no, of course I don't experience this. And then, but there was this one time when, and then it sounded like all these stories started pouring out. What did you hear?
Yeah, so it was interesting where it kind of, people are reluctant to talk about this, I think understandably, and probably for the best. Like, you shouldn't go around kind of perpetuating the stereotype that all women are like this. But, you know, most of the women that I talked to did have sort of one or two stories where they had a really, you know, an experience that was really upsetting. It seemed like their manager who was a female or a coworker who was female, let's say she took flex time for herself, but she wouldn't grant them the same, privilege, or the female manager would kind of undermine them for a reason that seemed really inexplicable or random. It didn't seem to make a lot of sense. And it's sort of things that, maybe a male manager had been a jerk to them at one point, but this seemed kind of a little bit more wanton or a little bit harder to understand.
And you opened with the story of a woman named Shannon who you said had struggled at an elite law firm. What was her story?
So she really found that, I mean, she had an overall bad experience at the law firm, but she really found that the, there weren't too many female partners, and they just, the women who were female partners weren't liked very much. They kind of were seen as either these aggressive, can I say the B word on your program? Probably not, huh?
Let's say no.
That's what she called them. So she kind of broke them down into these different categories, and that some of them were aggressive, some of them were passive aggressive, and some of them were just so overwhelmed by the stress of everything and how much they had to work and take care of their family that they kind of would just neglect their employees and their employees' needs. So she really had a bad experience with the senior women in her law firm, and she thinks it might have had to do with the kind of overall environment of the firm.
Well, let's get science in on this. There is some research on it that says, you know, maybe this is something that is hardwired, that when women are competing, for example, with mates and resources for offspring, that they're going to compete with other women.
Right. So these studies show that essentially when you have women who feel like they're competing for the only spot at the top that's like a woman spot. So let's take the example of the law firm. Probably those female partners felt like, oh, well, there's only one or two female partners, so I have to be that one. So that means I have to like compete against all the other women. And that really kind of makes their mindset very zero sum and leads to them not maybe wanting to support younger women, because what if she comes and takes one of those woman slots? What if she comes and kind of usurps my place, you know, in the place where there's only room for one of us? So that's kind of how this all gets set up and why you start to see these kinds of actions.
So it's interesting. So it sounds like a lack of gender equality at the top is part of the problem here, because if there are more women present and women see ample opportunity for women to rise up, this behavior might not develop.
Yeah, and I think even more than that is sort of the need to make women not have to choose between being someone who is, you know, a good mother and a good, you know, or whatever roles they choose to have in their non-work time. So a good friend or a good, you know, whatever, sister, you know, not having to choose between their life and their work, having better work-life balance might also help with some of this, because then women don't feel like, oh, I have to, you know, I have to throw everything at this. I have to be so ruthless, because they realize that their company supports them in having sort of a balanced life.
Talking with Olga Kazan right now from The Atlantic about the question, why do women bully each other at work? And Olga, there's a theory, and you talked to the scientist who coined the phrase queen bee about part of what's going on here. And she was reluctant to talk to you at first. She said it's kind of sad to hear these questions from you. But can you tell us about the queen bee theory and what it says?
Yeah, so that reluctant psychologist was Carol Tavris. But she coined this, or I guess most people think she coined this this term in the 70s in a Psychology Today article. And she calls it like the women who were against women's liberation back when that was really happening. But since then, I mean, people just really, you know, if you think about all the popular press that's been out there about this issue ever since, you know, people would really take this queen bee term and use it against any woman who has any strong opinions, basically. And so more recently, these researchers in the Netherlands have been looking at, you know, what makes women want to distance themselves from one another, to not want to collaborate, to sort of try to act more like a man or not like a quote-unquote typical woman. And they really find that it's a reaction to discrimination. So the queen bees are kind of reacting to something naturally within the workplace. It's not just that women are like this kind of themselves, or that they're like this psychologically.
Yeah, and it's interesting. You gave a quote from, I think it might have been Marissa Meyer from Google, but saying, I'm not a woman in tech. I'm just another geek working in tech. So saying some distancing language that women can use to say, yeah, I'm not, don't think of me as a woman, because they think it might be a disadvantage.
Right. So that's showing, you know, not a lot of solidarity with other women. And that is because they're like, well, if you know, if you see me as just another woman, women aren't doing so well here. So I want to look like just another geek, not just another woman, because that'll help my chances to really get ahead in this workplace. So that's sort of what that was trying to illustrate, because some of these academic terms can be a little hard to parse.
And before we get to callers, and there's a lot of them who want to talk to you already, Olga, but there's a really fascinating series of studies actually done asking for teammates for Jeopardy, where the contestants, men and women, had to pick people to be on their teams. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so for the Jeopardy study, men and women had to essentially pick teammates for a round of Jeopardy on a computer, and they could choose among insecure and confident men and women. So it kind of behooved them to pick someone competent, because they stood to get a prize. So while the confident contestants of both men and women who were confident were seen as more capable, but the women were kind of torn between the insecure woman and the confident one. So they didn't necessarily act in their best interest, even when they could have, you know, stood to get a prize for doing doing so. And that kind of shows that women can sometimes be more biased against women, and that's something called the black sheep effect in psychology.
And tell us more, what is the black sheep effect?
Well, that's sort of where you see other people who are, so these women are behaving confidently, which is something that you're not used to women doing, or that's something that, you know, is not stereotypical of a woman. And so sometimes other women will look around and say, oh, you think you're so confident, you think you're so good, I'm gonna judge you really harshly for that. I really don't like that, even though you're also a woman, just because we can be a little bit harder on people from our own group when they break the rules than on people from another group.
Olga Kazan is with us right now from The Atlantic, talking about the question, why do women bully each other at work?
You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Women, what has your experience been like at work? Have you seen this happen? Have you experienced this yourself? And in general, why do you think this can happen in some work environments? What would need to change? Call in at 800-642-1234. You can also post your thoughts on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we'll continue our conversation and get to your questions, your thoughts in just a minute on Central Time. We're picking up our discussion now about why women bully each other at work with Olga Kazan from The Atlantic.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you encountered this in your workplace? If you're a woman, do you see solidarity among women at work, or do you see this kind of competitiveness, maybe bullying or undercutting? Call in now at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we'll take our first caller now. We've got Kelly joining us from Cascade. Hi, Kelly.
Hi. I have two things. One is a question, one's a comment. A question. I work in the healthcare industry, and I've worked in quite a few different arenas in healthcare, and I've always, with all but one time, I've had female bosses, and I really appreciated, I've appreciated each and every one of them, and I don't feel like I've experienced what you're talking about, so wondered if that is different for different industries. I think the one time I had a male supervisor, I felt he was a little less strong on the compassion side and understanding when that's a really important element of healthcare. The other part is I've experienced being a manager and a leader in different arenas in healthcare myself, and I feel like my leadership really changed after having children. Before I had children, I felt like I had to kind of prove myself, and some of that might have come along with just being a new to management and leadership. But after having children, I feel like the part of me that nurtures and tends to my children in a certain way has really come on board in my management and leadership. And so I feel like that's a real strength and brings a lot to the staff that I feel like I serve in a leadership capacity.
Kelly, thanks for that. And Kelly, let me ask you one quick question. Do you happen to be a nurse?
I'm not a nurse. I'm an occupational therapist and currently a rehabilitation manager.
All right. Thank you, Kelly. There's some studies about nurses, Olga, but to get at Kelly's bigger questions, you know, in healthcare, does occupation make a difference?
Yeah, so I don't know within healthcare specifically that there are studies on, you know, different types of specialists and whether or not they have, what kinds of relationships they have with their managers. I would say in nursing, this is a huge problem. This is I heard from a lot of nurses, and they were really the ones who, they started researching this kind of separately as just sort of a workplace bullying issue. So I don't know. I don't know if it's because nurses, I mean, they do sort of have that dynamic where it's usually a lot of female nurses, predominantly female nurses, and then often there will be like a male, you know, doctor in charge, or, you know, whoever runs the practice. So maybe that contributes to it, and maybe, you know, practices that don't have that dynamic don't kind of fall into this. But yeah, I really have no idea. I mean, I'm so glad that you have had really good experiences with female managers. This is, not suggesting that all female managers would create a bad experience.
And she said, Kelly said she felt ready to express her managerial side and confident in that after she had kids. Are there any sort of circumstances that help women express those parts of themselves?
Yeah, so this is like Lori Redman and I got into this like girl talk kind of conversation toward the end where she's like, you should be more confident. So I don't know. I don't know if it's something that comes with sort of just age or getting, you know, more established in your workplace or even maybe the kind of field you're in. I mean, if you are in politics, you know, women who are in politics maybe have to express more kind of, you know, kind of appeal to more voters or things like that. And so they might have to behave in a more kind of gentle way so that they can appeal to more people. But maybe women who work on a, you know, on a trading floor where everyone's like kind of brusque and not really all about the emotions, you know, maybe you don't need to kind of play up your femininity in that way. So I don't know. I guess it really just it's kind of individual and it depends on your individual workplace.
Kelly, thanks a lot for that call. And we're going to go next to Elizabeth joining us in Neenah. Elizabeth, hi.
Hi. I called in as soon as I heard the topic, had to share because I've thought a lot about this from my own career. I actually started out in law and I had three female partners. Well, one was a judge and all of them were, to be honest, really awful. And it was just a miserable experience working for all of them. And I used to think it was just because it was law. Because when I switched careers, I entered a completely different career. I've now had three female bosses or maybe even four. And they've all been really wonderful to work for. And I used to just kind of chalk it up to law versus, in this case, higher education. But as I kind of looked at my bosses again, I also recognized that the bosses I had early on in my career really had entered the workplace and had entered management at a time when there weren't very many women in upper management. So I don't think they had a lot of mentoring and a lot of, I would say, female or male role models to draw from. Whereas my bosses that I've had in the last, I would say, decade or even two decades really have had more opportunities, I think, for mentoring, to receive mentoring, and I think it's made a difference for them.
Really interesting, Elizabeth. Thanks for that. And Olga, something that struck me about what Elizabeth said was it seems like if women themselves, as they're rising up through the ranks, if they're given the mentoring, as Elizabeth was saying, are treated well, are given a fair shot, they're going to treat others that way later on, maybe.
Yeah, I think that's definitely in line with what the research shows, which is that the women who don't feel like I've given up so much to be here, so I'm going to make you give it up too, you know, are the ones, you know, the ones who will have been probably mentored, who will have been in a supportive work environment. And that can be any kind of industry. You know, even if you work in kind of a tough industry, your bosses can still try to protect you or create a better environment for you no matter where you work.
Olga Kazan is with us right now. We're talking about a piece she wrote recently for The Atlantic called Why Do Women Bully Each Other at Work? We're going over some of the science that looks into this and hearing what you have to say. And right now we're going to go to Pam in West Allis. Pam, hi.
Hi. I'm hearing from some of the conversation earlier, I'm hearing what may have been a flaw in these studies. And that's that doesn't seem very objective about the way these women are being evaluated. And the example I'll give you is when your journalist was relaying some things that women had said about women managers, they rattled off something like, oh, they didn't have time to help their employees or some term like that because they were busy with their family. Well, you know, guess what? Just about every male manager I've had leaves you alone to do your job. You were hired for that job because you're competent at it and they can't do all of the work they have. You're responsible for your own little piece of the universe other than giving you guidance on what they want from you and occasionally helping you if you get stuck. They're not your best buddy. They're not there to pull up a chair and have a few beers. They're there basically to collect your work and report on it and, you know, give their manager status reports on how much is getting done and how far along they are. I've been a manager in IT, and I mean, I can give you an example of manager after manager. I'll give you an example of one at a major insurance company, one of the biggest ones in the country, who had his glass enclosed office. He's one of two project managers on our projects. And, you know, sometimes I'm the project manager, but that was a huge company, and so I had a more narrow role as a business analyst. But he would sit in his glass enclosed office all day and literally take conference call after conference call because he was the expert on a lot of things and he was the decision maker on a lot of things. He didn't have time to talk to employees. We rarely talked to him except for maybe one meeting every couple of weeks or so. And there was another project manager who came by every morning to talk to each one of us individually to see what was going on and how far along we were and whatnot.
I think I've got your point. Thank you, Pam. I really appreciate that call. I just want to make sure we have time for Olga to respond. Olga, what do you say to Pam's point?
Yeah, I mean, so regarding the studies, I mean, no study is perfect. I would say that one interesting thing about these is that they all kind of point to a similar pattern. So it would be things like the older, you know, female academics not finding the they thinking that the younger female academics were less dedicated to their work compared to the younger men academics, or saying that they, you know, don't identify strongly with other women, or saying they don't want to work with other women. So it's sort of you're right that not every study has the exact same question and answer. So there definitely needs to be replication of these studies, which is a problem in psychology kind of more broadly. But it is interesting that several of these studies and, you know, both in the Netherlands and in the U.S. and elsewhere kind of point to the same phenomenon happening. And as far as managers leaving you alone or kind of letting you do your work and not kind of being super touchy-feely, I think that's fair. I mean, these studies mostly evaluated whether older women had negative sentiments toward other women.
And we have to leave it there. Olga, thank you a lot. Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
That was Olga Kazan, staff writer at The Atlantic. You could find a link to her piece called Why Do Women Bully Each Other at Work on the Central Time Facebook page.
Coming up tomorrow, Food Friday, influential musicians in Wisconsin, and more. That's coming up tomorrow on Central Time.